This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is a weekly segment called A-State Connections and Create at State, Making Connections That Count. In today's podcast episode, I talked to Professor of Environmental Biology and Director of the Ecotoxicology Research Facility, Dr. Jennifer Bolden, and with Kinley Davenport. Kinley is double majoring in environmental science and wildlife fisheries and conservation. Dr. Bolden talks about how she got Davenport involved in research with sunscreens.
Well, Kinley got involved at the Ecotoxicology Research Facility when she volunteered to help one of my graduate students with her project, and that was a completely different project than what she's presenting this year, but that kind of got her interested in aquatic toxicology. And then last spring she took one of my classes, the toxicology class, and we introduced the whole effluent toxicity testing, or the aqueous bioassays, using our test organisms, and that piqued her interest again. And so she chose her honors project using the sunscreen that she'll describe for you.
All right. So tell us about your research, if you don't mind, please, what you've been doing.
So it's pretty well known, and there's a lot of research to back up that there's a specific ingredient in sunscreens called benzophenones, and or they're called oxybenzones as a group, but the one specifically that I'm looking at is benzophenone 3, and it's specifically that ingredient that is harming coastal ecosystems. It harms coral in their developmental stages and harms a lot of the wildlife that live amongst the coral. And so there's a lot of states, or not a lot of states, but there's a few states, I think Florida and Hawaii, have banned sunscreens that have the benzophenone 3 in it. And basically what that ingredient is it's an organic UV filter, and so it reflects the light away from you. And so there's a lot, like I said, there's a lot of research showing that it harms marine life and marine organisms, but there's not a whole lot of it on freshwater organisms. And coming from a landlocked state and all we have is freshwater ecosystems, that's what I wanted to see, what the effect of the benzophenone sunscreen versus a sunscreen that doesn't have that in it, if it affected freshwater life at all. So
right.
I'm seeing what that correlation is, if there is one.
And what is what has been the effect of this? You said there's been a lot of harm to those, to that in around Florida and that. Mm-hmm. What is the specific harm? What is it specifically?
So I forget which developmental stage it is in the coral specifically, but coral go through multiple different developmental stages before it actually kind of concretes itself to the other live coral. And so what happens is the benzophenone 3 actually somehow affects one of the developmental stages, so it can't get to the next developmental stage. And I think it also affects the food sources for the coral as well, because it eats very, very teeny tiny microscopic things in the water, and the sunscreen harms their development as well.
Tell us about her contributions to this research and that, and kind of what she's been doing in this, if you don't mind, please.
Well, in the class last spring that she took, we learned, like I said, about the whole effluent toxicity testing. And so she has worked with one of my graduate students, the same one that she helped with her project, to learn to actually do some hands-on and get very proficient at this testing. It's a 7-day test using the larval fish and a larval invertebrate. And so the EPA recognizes those two test organisms as their model organisms to test any kind of product with. And so it's like running two tests at the same time. And, there's some proficiency that has to be gained to be able to handle those organisms without harming them during the test, because the test has to be, you have to introduce new water to the organisms each day, and so you're handling it every day for 7 days. And so she has become very proficient at that, and has done a really good job.
And so how has the research been going so far, Kinley, in this?
So far we've done the sunscreen without the benzophenones in it. I used a specific brand that's sold in Gearhead, so it's available locally in different stores. But we've done the initial test for that, and then a follow-up test to verify the results. And then just last week or the week before, we finished up the test the first test that we've done for the sunscreen that has the benzophenones in it. And then we're going to do a verification test afterwards as well. But we actually just started running the analytics for all of that to see what or if there is a correlation between the two and the effects that it might have on the fish. So we're still trying to interpret those results right now. But right. Yeah, hopefully
the statistics have to be run on them, and then the endpoints that are gained mm-hmm. from that need to be compared.
Yeah, because when some people, and I'll admit this, you know, it gets warmer, and then everyone's like, oh, you gotta, you know, get your sunscreen and all mm-hmm. that. So you just go out to the store, you buy some sunscreen, slap it on yourself, and then you go. And you know, but the you know, mm-hmm. how do I, you know, there's not a lot of people, probably like myself, who did not realize that some of that can be harmful, possibly, you know, especially if you go out to the lake, mm-hmm. it could be harmful to the fish and all that stuff. And that's exactly what you're kind of looking at.
Yeah, we also, we don't know the role that benzophenone 3 plays in humans as well. There are studies that have shown that it's been found in human urine and human breast milk. And so we don't know if there's an issue with human health there either. It hasn't really been tested. But what I'm specifically looking at is the effects on the freshwater organisms that are going to be found in your lakes and streams and things like that. That, you know, Arkansas's outdoor recreation the outdoor recreation sector of the economy is huge. You know, we have the Buffalo National River in the state, and we have so many reservoirs and lakes in the state that people go to enjoy in the summer when it's hot and the water feels good. And you also have to consider that we're never going to completely get rid of sunscreen, because then you have the human health hazard of skin cancer, and that UV rays cause skin cancer. So we just got to try to kind of find a balance, and a step in that direction is seeing if we can figure out what the effects of that sunscreen potentially is.
Very impressive research. I know that you've been very, very impressed with this. What's the next step? I know, you know, conference is coming up and all that, but what's the next step in this research that you hope? And you said you're running analytics and doing those kinds of things.
Yeah, running the statistical data that's made for the toxicity testing.
Yeah.
Taking the concentrations and the survival and, you know, the other endpoints that you reach, and running those with the statistics. We're hoping before she finishes this spring, maybe we can find a lab that will actually analyze for the compound that she's looking at too, and that would be a much more robust publication. But we're hoping to get it published. Yes,
that'd be fantastic. So tell us about how you feel this will ultimately make a difference in the communities that we serve. Kind of tell us about that, if you don't mind, please.
Well, I really hope that it could potentially contribute to human health and environmental or ecotoxicological research on the environment, just knowing more and more of the effects that humans are having on the environment, because the more that we know about those effects and those problems that we're potentially causing, the more that we can figure out solutions for those and potentially have less of an impact on the planet. So,
okay. How did you get interested in this research?
So I grew up kind of around water and things with my grandparents. And so I've always just, you know, kind of loved it. And the Buffalo River has a special place in my heart, of course. But it wasn't really until I took the ecotoxicology course with Dr. Bolden that I really realized that there was such a niche of research for aquatic ecotoxicology, because you could do terrestrial toxicology as well, and there's people that study so many different things with that, and there's also just human toxicology that a lot of medical schools study as well, but specifically aquatic toxicology, I didn't even know that that was really a realm available and that it was an actual thing to study and specialize in until I took that course. And so it was that course that really got me interested in that topic of research, and it was helping Emma with her research outside that really got me into research itself and how those mechanisms met. Emma and I were just throwing around ideas for my honors thesis that I wanted to do, so it just kind of formed.
kind of worked out really well. That's fantastic. Yeah. How has it been like working with Dr. Bolden on all of this?
It's been fantastic. She's a wonderful mentor and always is there for to help answer any questions that I might have or help us interpret the data when we have different things that we're about to start analyzing. And she was really helpful in determining the concentrations of the sunscreen that we were choosing to test the organisms at, like how much sunscreen in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously using her resources in the ecotoxicology research facility on campus has been a huge part of this. And hopefully her resources afterwards to try to get this paper somewhat published.
That's great. How's it been like working with Kinley on this?
She's a very independent worker, so it's been wonderful. Yeah, she does a really good job. And of course, Emma, the graduate student, Emma kind of is a go-between with us too. So a lot of the questions Emma can answer. But then when they reach a point, they'll come to me, and we usually kind of figure it out, the three of us together.
Right, but that's exactly what you want, though.
Mm-hmm,
you want to have that. So that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. How did you come to Arkansas State? Tell me about that. How did you choose Arkansas State?
So I'm originally from Bryant, Arkansas, and I kind of knew that I didn't want to stay super close to home, which would have been like UALR, and Arkansas Tech University didn't have the major that I was really looking for because I didn't start out as environmental science and wildlife. I actually changed my major twice before that. So I spent my whole first year here at Arkansas State as an animal science pre-vet student. In the College of Ag, and so I originally came to Arkansas State because it was either Arkansas State or Fayetteville that were going to give me, or the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville, that were going to give me the best chances of getting into vet school because, as most people don't know, Arkansas doesn't have a vet school yet. I know that the University of Arkansas is working on getting one started right now, but because we don't have a vet school here in the state, our bordering states have created kind of an agreement with Arkansas that students that want to go to vet schools in our bordering states, they reserve a certain number of seats for our students to get in-state tuition at those vet schools. They're extremely competitive, and so my whole focus was which school is going to prepare me more and make me look better to get one of those spots that are really, really hard to get. And Fayetteville didn't offer me as much in financial aid as I would have hoped that they would.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas State offered more, and I really, really preferred the class sizes of Arkansas State, and that's been something looking back now that I am so, so grateful for that I came to Arkansas State, is that I don't think I would have been able to be involved so intimately with research and really figured out what I enjoyed studying at Fayetteville, just because it's such a large campus and you have so many students from Arkansas and so many from Texas that the class sizes are so much bigger and you just don't get to know your professors as well. So that's something that really, really appealed to me about Arkansas State, is the class size and that I would get to actually know my professors. They know who I am. They see my face all the time. And then, of course, ultimately get involved in
Professor of Environmental Biology and Director of the Ecotoxicology Research Facility, Dr. Jennifer Bolden, and Kinley Davenport. To hear more interviews like this one, you can subscribe to the Created State Podcast at the Created State Podcast page on KASU.org. It's also available on Apple Podcasts or Google Play. You can also listen on the NPR app. It's also available on Spotify. And tell others about the Created State Podcast and leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you. You're listening to A-State Connections and Created State here on KASU.